I think if I weren't so selfish, we'd probably have one or two Sunday nights a month where all we did was sing. But the one thing that I love to do more than sing is try to preach. And so you're going to be stuck with that for a while, I hope. I hope it's a while longer. I want to read two passages of Scripture tonight. First from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 17. And then from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. First from Romans 8, 11 through 17. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. And then looking at 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. Let me get there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. And this is the wonderful word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we've been looking at four great emphases of the United Methodist Church. We looked a couple of weeks ago at our conviction that God's love and atonement are available for everyone. Last Sunday, we looked at the fact that although we are tragically separated from God by sin, we can be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I want us to look at the assurance that we have of salvation. You ask people, are they saved? Some say they hope they are. They're trying to be this, that, or the other. We need to be sure about some things, and this is one thing we need to be sure of. And there are three sources of Christian assurance, and I wanted to look at them in turn. The first of these is the witness of God's Word. The Bible is filled with the witness of the salvation of the person who comes to God in faith. Let's look at a few witnesses of Scripture to our salvation. First, there's a witness, assurance, a pardon, a forgiveness. How do you know you've been forgiven? Well, the Scripture says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember years ago in a little country church down in Pickens County, we preached one night and this young man came to the altar and he was wanting to be saved, but he was struggling with feeling. He didn't feel any different. And I said, just trust the Word of God. And this went on for, I think, 45 minutes. And finally the light dawned. And he did believe, and he knew he was forgiven because the Word told him he was forgiven. And for whatever good came of it, he even became a part-time country preacher. But we have the promise of the Word. We meet the conditions, we confess our sins to God, and God in turn forgives us and cleanses us. If ever the devil or anyone questions the nature of your salvation, you can silence them with the Word of God. I can have confessed my sin to God, and standing on the Word of God, I know He's forgiven me. Isaiah 55:7 lifts up a similar truth when it said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon." I like the way the Scripture stretches our imagination. Not just pardon, but abundantly pardon. We're forgiven, we're pardoned from our sins. The Bible tells us so. And we have the assurance of acceptance. Some would say, with all the sin that they are guilty of, God would never accept them just as they are. And they'll go on to say, "I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. God could not forgive me for all that I've done." But Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and no one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." Again, He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No matter what we've done, no matter what our past, when we come to Jesus, we're accepted and forgiven, for the Bible tells us so. And we see this, we have the assurance of salvation. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, thou art my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He alone is my salvation." Romans 10:9-10, Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Are you saved? Can you be sure that the Lord is your salvation? You confess Jesus as Lord. You believe in the resurrection. You invite Him into your life. And He promises, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of his life, I will come in and abide with him and he with me." We receive Him. And we have the assurance that we are children of God. John 1:12-13 says, "To all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God." You believe on Him, He gives you power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We receive Him, we believe on Him, we are given power to become God's children. This doesn't depend on our ancestry. It doesn't matter whether you're a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution or the Daughters of the Confederacy. It doesn't matter whether your parents, ancestors came over on the Mayflower, or some of your ancestors met the Mayflower, some of mine did. You know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile, black or white, American or Asian or African. It doesn't depend on the will of flesh. It doesn't depend on the will of man. We do not determine by our own wills to be a Christian and set out to keep the commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, and so forth. But we are born of God and we receive Christ. We have become children of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. I shared this with you some time ago, but one morning, I don't know what was going on, but I looked in the mirror and I asked myself, "Who are you? Who are you?" And then it came clear. You're God's child. You're God's child. You are children of God. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, we have assurance of eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Not will have, but has. "And does not come to judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Has eternal life. Not hope to have, not expect to have. has, we have no fear of death. We have eternal life. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. My, my. We're no longer under condemnation, for there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have eternal life. The Bible tells us so. And we have the assurance of God's continuing love. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, I want to read it again tonight. You know it as well as I, but Romans 8th chapter, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, on and on the Scriptures go. They tell us that we can be pardoned, forgiven, accepted, have salvation, that we're children of God and have eternal life in God's love continues, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, and His grace is sufficient for our every need, and we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, and of His promise He's given us to supply every need of His life, of our lives, and He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And on you can go. The Bible tells us so much more than we can really grasp. It was such spiritual assurances, scriptural assurances as these that called Martin Luther to write, "For feelings come and go, and they do. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant," he says, "is the word of God. Nought else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of one sweet token, I know one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken." Praise be to God. I have the witness of God's Word that gives us an unshakable assurance of salvation. A second source of Christian assurance is the witness of the Holy Spirit. John 3:24, we read, 1 John 3:24, "All who keeps His commandments abide in Him and He in them, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit He has given us." The witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit, if you would. Three New Testament figures set forth this inner witness. First, there's the seal of the Spirit. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, "God has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." God has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. W.T. Persker used the figure of a document sealed with a warm blob of wax and impressed with the signet ring of the sender. He says, if the submitted heart is the wax, the Holy Spirit is the sealer, and the image of Christ the invisible mark of identification, the seal is at once an assurance to the believer and a sign to the world. A second New Testament figure used to set forth the Spirit's inner testimony is the earnest of the Spirit. The pledge or guarantee of the Spirit. God has given us an earnest or a pledge or guarantee that the Spirit is in our hearts. We are sealed by the Spirit. We are guaranteed that the Spirit is in our heart. And a third figure is a testimony of the Spirit. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of a child." When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is the Spirit Himself bearing with our spirit that we are children. Paul wrote, "God has set forth the Spirit of His Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Jesus says there's an inward impression of the soul whereby the Spirit of God immediately and directly witnesses to my spirit that I am a child of God, that Jesus Christ has loved me and given Himself for me, that all my sins are blotted out, that I, even I, am reconciled to God. The witness of the Word, the witness of the Spirit, a third source of Christian assurance is the witness of the human spirit. First, in John's Gospel, the 9th chapter, Jesus healed a man born blind. And the Pharisees, trying to figure out what's taking place, and they said to the man about Jesus, "We know that this man, that is Jesus, is a sinner." And the man who'd received his sight answered, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Of this he was sure. Of this there was no question. And similar evidence belongs to the born-again Christian. We know whom we have believed. We know the difference Christ has made in our lives. We know the fruits of the Spirit living within us. In our hearts, we know outward fruits reaching out to others. We know that our desire is no longer to do just what we want to do, but to give a zealous, uniform obedience to all the commandments of God. Now would be the first to confess tonight that I know I'm not all that I should be. I come far from being all that I want to be. But this I must testify. Thank God I know I'm not what I used to be. He's made a difference in my life. He's given me life. Look around you. See the difference that Jesus has made in your own life. The difference He is making in your life. See the difference He's made and is making in the lives of those nearest and dearest to you. See Him turning hate into love, depression into joy, defeat into victory, and death into life. You can know you're saved by the witness of your own spirit. So we believe in Christian assurance that we belong to God. We know that we know Him and we are His children. We have the witness of the Word. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit. We have the witness of the human spirit. There is no need to doubt. You are God's children now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word that brings such joy and peace to us. Thank you, for your Holy Spirit that comes to abide in our hearts and help us to overcome and be more than conquerors through Christ who lives in us. Thank you that we can know from our own lives that you are doing a work within us. You're not finished with us yet, but we know we're not what we used to be. And we long for you to bring your work to completion and to be made perfect in Christ Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, from childhood, I was always afraid of being lost. One time I was separated from my father in a store in a strange town in another state, and I went running all over the place till somebody grabbed me and got me back to my father. But I just thought about it as we sing it. If there's one place to be lost, it's in the love of Jesus. Just everything about us given over to Him. Everything about us. What a blessing. Now the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with each of us now and forevermore. All God's people said, Amen.